And I said, churchy. Yeah. Now, these people might be saved. I don't know. But they're subscribing to a philosophy that says this. Well, we don't want to, you know, it don't matter what everybody gives. You ought to treat everybody the same. It ain't talking to me about that. You say, why is that? Because the Lord keeps up with it and I don't care. I keep up with enough for me and my family. I ain't got time to keep up with everybody. But the reason there is an envelope system in your church that you attend right here in this place is very simple. According to the country you live in, and this is long before you were born, they want to know if you would like to give money to this church and account that, listen, your government, believe it or not, up to a certain amount, I forget the amount, I never do this, but they allow you to put on your taxes what you gave in charitable contributions, and they consider this charitable contributions, and you can get, is it a tax break, discount, money back in the mail in 6 weeks, something. Whatever that word itemized means, you might ought to look that up in dictionary and really find out if you need really do keep all them receipts, because you can do them all digital and keep them all on your phone and the whole nine yards. That's one reason. But we do it for another entirely here. Let's say, for instance, that Brother Fain came up to me and said, I feel led to go to the Philippines and build church buildings. And I would think that's a wonderful calling on somebody's life to go do something like that. Because after all, they're not asking for the Taj Mahal and the glass thing that Shuler has out in California. If I'm not mistaken, Brother Fain, you correct me, it's $7,500 a turnkey deal on one church building. And it'll get them out of mud huts and sitting on the ground and put them in a block building with cement floors. Is that right? And I mean, that I wish we could do that here. But see, y'all done got used to air conditioning and padded pews and being fat and all this other stuff. You'd never make it over there, okay? So, but we do it here for a reason. Because when Brother Fain comes to me, I'm going to turn to the treasurer and say, does Brother Fain tithe? He'll look in the records and say, Brother Fain does tithe or does not tithe. And depending on what he tells me, I'm going to proceed accordingly. Now, here's why. I don't want him hopping on an airplane, robbing God, and get over there and getting a mess. Yeah. I'm looking out for him. See that? Let's say my wife comes up to me and says, I think I should teach the ladies' Sunday school class. And I say, well, okay, let me pray about that. And then I call the treasurer. I says, does she tithe? And he's going to say, yes, she does, or no, she doesn't. And the reason being, I'm not going to put her, you, or me, or anybody else in a teaching position that is robbing God. Malachi chapter 3 says, will you rob God? Yet you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now understand this. This is a very good truth that will help you out. We don't give to get anything. We give because we love the Lord. We tithe because if we don't tithe, God will come collect said tithe. And I've told this story before. A lady in this church, my sister-in-law, before she went to heaven, she told me one day back 10 or 15 years ago, she said I was preaching on something about God would come get his tithe. And she brought me her hospital bill, and I thought, Lord, she wants me to pay this thing. I mean, it was astronomical. She said, I've been doing some figure on this thing. I want to show you this. I said, what is it? She said, when you said that, she said, I thought you were wrong. She said, and after they took my appendix out, I come back in here and I looked at this thing and I got to adding it all up. She said, this is what God took, what I've had to pay that I could have easily just paid in these plates and probably avoided all those problems. I said, you mind if I tell everybody that? She said, you can tell anybody that. She said, I'm not saying every time you get an appendix took out that ain't you tithing. But at the same time, I'm speaking for myself, all the money added up to the dime. From the time she quit doing it, because Larry Burkett, the financial Christian expert, said, if you got bills, don't tithe, get your bills paid. He didn't mean quit tithing. That ain't what he said. But people will hear something. I mean, I know how the man feels. I'll preach on something and somebody swear I said something different, so I record the service so we can go back if something's, if there's any confusion. But there's a lot of folks don't get that thing. What's their problem? They're churchy. Second crowd's worldly crowd. Worldly crowd. They'll make a statement like, God wants you to tithe only when you can. Only when you can. Well, if that were the case, he wouldn't have said, will a man rob God when he can? That's why we go by literally what the Bible says. Unless the language is absolutely point to figuratively, we go literal. And what worldly people say that for is they don't want to have to say, well, if I either got to pay my bass boat, my motorhome, whatever, or pay my tithe, well, I owe that money and I got to pay it. You're exactly right, you owe that money. Did anybody tell you who got you in that debt? Before you point this way or this way, point this way. It may have been the devil. It could have been God, but it was probably you. And covetousness has ruined America. We don't want to get into a position where we get so much things and that we lose sight of people. See, when people get to the point where they lose sight of people and they worry about things, they get out of sorts with God real quick. We don't want to get like that. I'd rather have people than things. Because you got things. It's a shame to say this, but the older you get, you realize things wear out, people die, and the people are more important than the things that wore out. Okay? The other crowd I mentioned was the lost crowd. And the law say this, churches just want your money. Well, I wouldn't exactly say that of churches like ours. Churches, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, I don't see us as being, we got to have your money or else. Now, if I said the words budget, stewardship, and giving every service, that means we ain't got no money, and I'm throwing a subtle hint to you to give money. I shocked a lady here last year. She said, what's your church budget? I said, I have no idea. She said, you don't look at the budget and help plan it? She said, you got to have a committee for that. I said, committee? No, we print the thing out at the end of the year. Last year's December is what we're going to do this year. She said, you can't do that. I said, it's worked for 20 years. She said, how did you start doing that? I said, we quit having business meetings and budgets and committees because we had seven people and the only thing we'd get together on was we all hated me. I said, so we changed the rules a little bit. We had a deacon and then we had a second deacon. So the first one said he is a chairman of deacons. And I thought, boy, that's the, quote, other pastor. And we got rid of that because the Bible didn't say nothing about a chairman of deacons. And there's a bunch of church devils around this county right now would tell you, well, he's just a dictator. I'm the worst dictator in the history of the world. I tell you things to do, and you don't do them. If I was a dictator, this is the point I'd say, you. And they'd come in and kill you all because you won't do what your dictator told you. You see how that works? Isn't that crazy? I'm a dictator. Yeah, when we all die, they're going to all sit around heaven laughing at your dictator saying, he didn't dictate nothing. And then they're going to start laughing at you saying, oh, it was y'all that didn't do it. Oh, you know, they follow their dictator, see. But here's the problem. The worldly people say churches just want your money. The last I checked, and I checked right before I left the house just so I can make sure, there were no gold fittings in any of my doghouses. You know why? Because I don't have doghouses. We have a dog house. We live in it with our dogs. Now, if somebody tells you your preacher's doghouse is air conditioned, that's because I live in it with my wife and children. You get what I'm saying? And we don't live in a gated community where there's only one house there and it has three swimming pools behind it and 17 bedrooms, 10 bathrooms, a servant's quarters over here and a guest house over here and an amusement park in the backyard. That ain't where we live. If a man pastored a church and had to have all that, he might be after your money. If he said, I've got four jets and I need a fifth one, he may be after your money. I thought, I heard that stupid Jesse Duplantis or one of them goofy guys say, well, I had to buy a private airplane because when you're flying commercial, you get in that tube full of demons and you just can't study and pray on the way to your meeting like that. And him and the other huckster were sitting there and they were laughing. They're con artists. And I thought to myself, I got on an airplane here a while back, and I sat beside Brother Curtis. I'm glad he ain't here when I tell you this and tell you in good conscience. I sat there, and I thought, I wonder if Brother Curtis is going to study. I wonder if the rest of these people are demon-possessed. And I thought, no. Took my little not-get-sick pill, put my little sleep mask on, and out I went. I could have cared less. And I wondered why that was so important to somebody like him, because listen to this. You'll love this part. They're only charismatic famous. The rest of the world don't know these people by their face. They may know who Joel Osteen is from the sheer bunch of memes that we put out making fun of that guy. We may know who the rest of them are because they've been caught in trouble so much with whatever. But other than that, we don't know these people. If you wasn't in church and I didn't say some of these names sometimes and you went home and looked them up or was flipping through the TV and run across them, you'd never know who these people are. And if you were a lost person, you'd never even stop on the channel. So when somebody that's lost tells you all we want is your money, tell them we could care less. We could care less. Half the time, they have to motion for me from the press box up there to say, we got to take up the offer. And I'm thinking, boy, that guy's really hungry. He's holding out his tray already. You hear me what I'm saying here? So Jesus is watching the giving down at the temple. Now you know I don't care what you do. He's watching this thing. Okay, look at what happens here. Here's the actions concerning Christ and giving, and boy, these things are laid out so good. I gave a long introduction because I got a short message, and I want you to get this thing. In verse 41, the first action, we see what the Lord is watching. He watches the prosperous as they come along. It says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Now, he's going to mention down here about a widow with two mites. He didn't see that in the first crowd. There were no mites there. There were no farthings there. It was only the larger denominations of money that came in because these guys were filthy rich. And he looked at the prosperous and watched them come in and give. And he wasn't watching them from the treasury point of view of he has the treasure. He was watching it as God watches the thing. Because he's God. And as he's sitting there watching all this, they may have put it in an envelope, they may have wrapped it up where nobody could see it, but he knew every amount while it was going in. And it was very kind what he says. He said that many that were rich cast in much. And that's good. We're glad they did. But the point he's making is he's watching what you do. I'm glad when folks tell me stories how they were raised in absolute poverty. They get saved. They start out with nothing. They give 10% of everything they have whenever they find out the Bible said do that. And by the way, that's a great truth to tell everybody because that way God don't go collect their appendix or whatever it is we mentioned a while ago. And when you watch people do that and you see, say, you tell the new convert, do this and just let God take care of the details. And then you tell them, if you tithe and then you have a need, go see the pastor or come see me and I'll meet your need for you. You'll find out them people never come back and ask. Because either if they don't, they're too embarrassed because they're so full of pride they won't say nothing. Or they do it and they never need anything. They may want things, but they don't need anything. Why? This book says God opened the windows of heaven in the same place it says, well, you rob God. Because if you don't rob God, you do right by God. And just your tithe, he'll open the windows of heaven on. We ain't even got to the fact that everything passed the tithe. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven. So what'll they do? I don't know, it might pour you out a car if you need it. Might pour you out a transmission if one of your car goes bad. Are you with me? It might pour you out, listen, it may pour you out dinner tonight. I don't know what you need, but God knows. And he'll take care of you. You're his child. How many would you let your child just, I mean, come walking into my, Daddy, I'm hungry. Mom, I'm hungry. And you're just going to say, go away from me. You little heathen, go away from me. Quit being mouthy and go away. No little kid comes in with something to eat, you'll give them something to eat if they're hungry. Unless they just want ice cream and cookies and candy after they ate or something. You know, you ain't supposed to do them like that. But at the same time, you feed your child, you do whatever with, there's a thing inside you, just an inner thing that lets you know to take care of your children. And if it comes down to there's one piece of bread left and that's all you got in the house, I don't know of any good parents that don't hand the bread to the kid. That's the way it works. And you know, Jesus Christ did the same thing for you. You or him, one got to die. He died so you wouldn't have to. He's watching the temple. He's watching the prosperous come in. And he's watching folks give out of their abundance. They've got it to give. Now watch this. Then he watches the poor. It says, there came a certain poor widow. And she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. He saw what she did. Now, we sometimes stretch the truth. I won't call you a liar. But we stretch the truth and say that we're all poor. Can I give you a little secret tonight? It's a little bit of truth to help you out with that. You may not be filthy rich, but you are not poor if you live in this country and you've walked in this door after walking, after getting out a thing that had four things on it that hit the road and got you here tonight. That ain't poor. You know what poor is? You don't even have a moped and you can't even steal a bicycle because everybody had them locked up. You can't pick the locks and you had to walk here tonight type thing. Anybody do that? Didn't think so. So you didn't give me time to answer. You would have lied again. I don't want you to get in trouble with God right here in the middle of the house of God. You know, I read in the Bible what happened. They lied in church in Acts 5. I don't want you to be like that crowd, okay? But what I do see is I see people that don't realize that if there's really a poor person there, God's watching what they do. And he's going to take care of them. Do you know it's poor people that when you're in a mess and you're poor, you don't just bless the food, you pray for it to get there too. That type of thing. Poor people say, you know what? I need a job, but before I go find one, I'm going to ask God to give me one. So when I go looking, I'm going to ask, seek and knock, and he's going to send me the thing. Where'd they learn that at? From heaven. They saw it in God's book. They believe it. Well, they don't know what the Greek and Hebrew said. They know they've not got that done yet. They're going to see just what the Bible says and go with that. And when we see him watching everybody, and we see what he's watching, but there's a second action the Lord takes, and this involves everybody in this building. The second action is what the Lord's wanting. Churchy crowd. Oh, you got to tithe in secret. You know who says that? People that don't tithe, that are holding church offices, that don't want you to find out, they're not tithing. So how do you know that? Because a pastor in this town that was there 6 months and they refused to give him the little code word to the computer system or whatever, he dropped something one day and he's reached down to get it and he looks up and right there's the password taped on the bottom of his own desk. He said, I typed in that password. He said, he called me, he said, meet me at McDonald's, I've been up all night. I said, what you been about? He said, just come on, I don't want nobody to hear this conversation. So we go down there, and he tells me, I've just mailed out 165 tithing records. I said, of whose? The members? He said, no, the deacons. He said, I got 20 deacons in there that ain't tithed a dime in 20 years. He said, I just printed their tithing records and mailed them to every member with a letter of my resignation with it. I said, dude, you ain't been here for 6 months. He said, but if I don't go, he said, I'm done in a bad way for I shouldn't have been here at all. But now that I'm here, I got to go. I got to go back and take care of some things. He never told me if he owed money back where he come from or whatever. But I thought to myself, I knew every one of them guys. That was your guys that come to the altar and said, oh, dear God. Oh, dear God, bless this, the Sabbath day, God. If they spent half the time reading that Bible instead of learning how to holler and carry on, they'd have knew the Sabbath as a day late and a dollar short already. And about that dollar short thing. You want somebody handling your money that's been stealing from God Almighty? Wow. Oh, you got to do that in secret. I asked one of them guys one time out of pure, one of the guys that were actually doing this, I asked him out of pure ignorance, didn't even know he didn't tithe. I said, you're telling me I got to put money in an envelope and don't tell what it is, that there's a number on there, that whoever's a treasurer got a list of numbers, and those numbers are random given to people, and let's say your number's 3126, he gets the envelope with 3126, he opens it up, writes down the amount, knows who it is, and he goes over here and finds 3126, and he writes my name, and that's how they know I gave that. He said, yeah. I said, why didn't you just write your name there? I'm waiting for some applause, amen. I don't get that. I'm thinking dumb as a thump, but you can think what you want to. But I thought, this is such an elaborate way to cover up the fact that you're robbing God, that you're trying to hide it from everybody else. Guess what? Everybody else probably knows it. But here's the funny part. When he mailed all that stuff out, you know what they said? The 20 guys that wouldn't tithe for almost 20 years is what they said. We give it all in cash. Do you know I had a bunch of people tell me that here one time that's trying to vote me out? And I said, I got the tithing records. You ain't voting. Oh, we'd give it all in cash. And because I had known about that situation, I said, so you've got, between the 20 of you, gave $5.27 in 3 years. That's where'd you get that figure from? First Piedmont Federal Bank. I went up there and looked at all the cash deposits for the last 3 years. So what'd you have in your hand? Deposit slips. That's serious. That's a crime against God. So what happened to them? If they were all still living, I would tell you. But I watched every one of them die horrible deaths but one guy. Ain't it funny how nobody gets away with anything in this life? You try to tear up God's work and tear down missionaries, tear down preachers, tear down churches, and God shows up, but he don't show up when you're expecting him. Brother Red said to me one time, we was talking, he said, do these people that have stuff go on in their lives like that and God visits them? He said, do they know that's God's judgment? I said, probably not, but maybe, I don't know. But usually you have to wait to get on the other side and find out. And just ask God, because they may not be where you're going. You never know. Funny thing is, it might be saved people doing that, and God snuffs them out and takes them to heaven so they don't hurt his testimony no more. That's kind of in the Bible. But he sees this thing. We see what the Lord's watching, but then he turns around and shows us what he's wanting. If you look down in verse 43, and he called unto him his disciples, and it says this, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. What's she cast in again? You tell me. How many? He wasn't even looking at the amount. He knew what she gave, and he knew what everything they gave. You say, well, that equals 2 pennies. I don't care what it equals. It was way less than what the rich people gave, but it's not the amount he's looking at. What's the Lord wanting if it's not an amount? There is something he's wanting. And see, all the way through this chapter, he keeps teaching them the same thing over and over. You know what it is? Look at verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in A-L-L. See that? She did cast in all that she had, even all her living. It's not an amount and it's not an abundance. It's an all he's looking for. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Y'all greedy bunch of chicken-eating thieves. If you think I'm going to come in and sign my paycheck and put it in something, well, you've lost your mind. If you've done it, I'd say you've lost your mind. Two reasons. You may be laboring under the false assumption that I get all the money here. That's real cute, but I don't. How many of you didn't know that? Anybody want to be fess up tonight? Father Little, we confess our sin that we thought you got all the money. Nobody going to stand up and say it good. So that means I'm dealing with folks that's in the know. I like this part. This is the best part since you know that. here's the other part of that. He wants them. He's letting the 12 guys that's listening to him know it. They could give more than her, and they ain't got jobs. Remember, they've been following him around 3.5 years. Come here, fellas. Look at this. He was watching, but then we see what he wanted. She came and gave all. Get this. He saw not what was in her hand, but what was in her heart. You ever heard these reprobates uptown? They'll be buying beer and you're talking about, well, the Lord sees the heart anyway. That's real nice, but let me tell you something. That should scare you to death. Because in this same book, about 5 books after he says that, or 6 or 7, something like that, he goes on to say that the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it save I the Lord? So if God's watching your heart, you're in bad shape already. He already sees a black hole that sucks in everything and has brought wars and murders and adulteries and on and on. So you better hope he ain't looking at your heart if you like that. Especially if you run around here hiding sin all the time and then somebody runs up on you in the grocery store and you're talking about, well, the Lord looks at the heart. You in worse shape than you think. Now here's the part of this good. He's not even concerned with that. He's concerned with you. A-L-L. It says that she cast in all that she had, even all her living. Don't read nothing that's not there. He ain't talking about a checkbook. Well, man's got to make a living. He wasn't talking about that kind of living. He's talking about what she did before she got there. See, when you come to worship God, that's what you bring with you. You bring your testimony. You bring the truth of the Word of God. You bring your Bible with you. And you bring you. And God wants you. If God has you, He can do anything with you. China's not off the table. Iran's not off the table. Russia's not off the table. France is not off the table. Any country that don't have electricity in the majority of the places in Africa where you got to take a machete and go out there and cut your way to find somebody and they don't know there's other people living on the planet when you get there, you ain't got a problem going there either. These people that go on mission trips to these resort places, you are kidding yourself. We talking about where they go out and name Christ where He's not named and don't teach Him how to wipe anything and teach Him how to get born again. Brother Chip Stowe showed that video back here in our missions class. I've told you about it. Some of you seen it. There's a village out there this guy goes to outside of one of those little islands off Australia, out in one of those little countries out there. He goes out there. They have no idea who God is, but they're willing to listen to Him. So you know what he does? It's the craziest thing. He teaches them world history. You know how they think they got there? Do you know how most people think you got here? You'd be surprised if you knew. If you knew you was driving beside people at 90 miles an hour and 95, and they thought you got here on the back of a turtle, don't look at me like that. I know people you know that believe that. I'm telling you, we know some crazy people in this world. I won't call any names, but you prayed for some of them in their mission fields tonight. They got people that think some star spun you here and UFOs brought you here, and that's the crowd they're trying to reach for Jesus. I'm telling you, and that even the Americans, how crazy we are. Crazy people, man. They believe anything you tell them but the truth. I'm just wondering, are they going to believe in the Incredible Hulk about gamma radiation and all that and thinking that they dose themselves with it, they're going to turn into one or something? I'm telling you what, people with a temper don't need to be trying to be the Hulk now. But you get in there like that guy did, he told them, here's the planet. He said, do you know where you come from? And then villagers began to tell them where they thought they come from. And it was some way far out story that nobody would believe, but somebody's been out in the middle of nowhere and had nobody tell them nothing. And then they had this practice that when you die, this evil spirit comes around and collects your body, and you got to do these things and chant these things to get out of it. Get this. And that spirit will come through their little thing. They'll see it out there in the trees walking around doing this, and it's scary looking. You know what one man found out? He had the costume back at his house and his wife found it and they had to kill her because of their you know, the in the no crowd, they have to kill you if you find out, because if not, you'll tell somebody, and they have to admit they don't know who God is or what's going on. But who's that? The chief? So he begins to tell them about what's going on. He tells them about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all this. But he gets the story of Abraham, tells them how God told Abraham to take his kid up to the top of the thing and sacrifice him. And they all started jumping up saying, well, we kind of do that here. But we don't know who told us to do it. And he said, God took Abraham up there so he could get his all, not his son. And then he told him about King David and what went on there. And he told him about the rise and fall of the nation of Israel. They said, where is that at, this Israel you talk about? And he took a compass and set it down and pointed to the exact direction. He said, if you go so many millions of miles this way, whatever the distance was, I don't know. He said, go that direction, that you'll find Israel. They didn't know there was nothing there but that island. They had no clue. And then he goes on to tell them how God had a plan in all this. And told them how his son came. And he came and he was born of a virgin. They didn't understand that. They just understood that it happened. They didn't understand how it happened. And they said then he lived a sinless life. He didn't violate none of God's laws. And he died for them so that they might have eternal life. And they said, how did he die? He said, people just like us had a false trial and condemned him to death and killed him, put him on a cross, and made sure he bled to death from all the beatings he had and hanging on that cross. Boy, them men in that tribe got up and said, no, however they were, nobody's going, no, that can't be. Why didn't God do something? They kept hollering out. They were in tears. Said he did. So what did he do? On the third day, he raised him from the dead. You know why he done that? Because he wants you. He don't want your money. He don't want your good looks. They'll fade. He don't want your youth. It'll go away too. He just wants you. Because when Jesus come up from the grave, he didn't come up for some. He didn't come up for the elect. You read in this book, he came up for all. So why is that? Because some of them that come up, that he come up for, when they're confronted with the gospel and all they got to do is receive his sacrifice for their sin, they're going to reject him. He's not wanting their money, he's wanting them. Some of them will come up unto life everlasting and he'll have them. That's all he wants. To make this so plain that we can't miss this tonight, Jesus did that for all, but he did it for you. The devil would have you make fake conversions one after the other, after the other, after the other in Finland. But God just says all you can do is get born again, not born again, again, again. You know what we spend our time doing? Oh, we need revival in America. We need revival. Here's a clue. We're probably not getting revival. We're probably getting the rapture. So you might ought to prepare for that instead. So how do you know that? Well, back in the 90s, the Russian curtain dropped and the bear was just so calm you could pet it. It ain't so calm now. And that thing shows up in Bible prophecy, so it has to happen. There's another place over there that's got to march down with on foot because they're going to lose all their cars and their tanks. So they got to march down on foot. So they dammed up five rivers in their country with all the scrap aluminum that Brother Steve said they've been buying for how many years over there, Brother? 10 years at least, right? They've been buying aluminum, making hydroelectric dams that's dried with the river. They can march right to Jerusalem right now. Their army is only the largest standing army in uniform right now, and that's China. Right to the south of them is the other ones. Who are they? You remember our kind, loving brothers, the Muslims? We elected one for president here. So why? Well, I know some, they're nice people. That's because they're in America. When they're not in America, they don't get so nice. You know how they treat shoplifters over there? They don't give you 27 times at the county jail. They cut your hand off first time, cut your hand off the other time. Third time, they kill you. Their shoplifting problem's way down what ours is. You know what we got over here? A bunch of psychoanalysts trying to figure out what's wrong with the guy's mind while he's doing it. If there's no consequence, they're going to keep doing it. Just like your children, when you raise them with no consequence, they don't do anything. Get older, they'll go to hell because they'll think, well, there's no consequence. Daddy didn't say nothing, so I'll do what I want to. Before you disagree with me, you ought to thank God for your daddy whooping your hind in a couple of times, letting you know, hey, if you do this, you get this. Because that way, when God called on you that day through the Holy Spirit, you said, you know what, if I don't accept Jesus, there is a consequence to this thing. What's the consequence? He either gets you or he places you. You don't get out of him. You don't get around him. And at the end of our lives, all we'll have left is that ALL that he wanted. That ALL will either be in him with him in heaven forever, or it will burn in eternity in the second death. You will die constantly in hell over and over. So why is that? Because I was a sinner? No, because you rejected the one that wanted you. He's done proved he wanted you. But now that we got all this stuff centering towards rapture instead of revival, guess what? God just wants you. Forget all that. Maybe Jesus ain't come for 1,000 years. He still wants you. Them Puritans back 1400s, 1500s, all that. The people that come up, they come up here because they had a relationship with somebody they realized wanted everybody. And they didn't come up here killing Indians for their property. They came up here with the gospel. That's why they came. They came over here as missionaries, not an army. That would have been the big bad Europeans that came later. And don't come to me and not tell me they all white, because that Spanish Armada led the charge. How'd that work out for them? Yeah. See, it all goes back to this. God wants you. Devil's trying to throw stuff up, you trying to come up with stuff. We saw what he's watching. He's watching you, and he wants you. In spite of you, he wants you. You want him tonight? You can have all of him you can stand. All of him that you can stand. Listen, you will go as far with the Lord as you want to go after you get saved. But there is that getting saved part, isn't there? There is that part. So what does that mean? Change. God changing you. Not you changing for him. Him changing you. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.